5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just gone 5:05. You are now listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today, Katie Rowland, Sheila Mellor and Debbie Bennett. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you all for coming in. If you're listening at home and you want to get involved, you absolutely can. Here's how you do it.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
What a beautiful day,
it's
a wonderful life.
I love it when we all dance to the theme tune.
We're all duffed in.
Yeah. Right, so we're starting off by talking about both food and Christmas, which I thought was the perfect place
fantastic.
To start. I thought this was very bizarre when I read this. 6 out of 10 of us would rather have a takeaway than a traditional Christmas dinner, say researchers. Of those, 1 in 5 would opt for a Chinese, closely followed by an Indian or fish and chips. But 41% are still passionate about a traditional meal. We'll go to the traditional meal bit in a moment. But have you ever had a takeaway for Christmas lunch?
Never.
No way. No.
I'd love to know the source of that research.
Well, Mecca bingo.
I was going to say the researcher did all the research in McDonald's or something.
Well, there you go. Mecca bingo.
They probably only interviewed 10 people. That's why it's 6 out of 10, maybe.
I know, exactly. It's
weird. 6 out of 10 is a lot.
It is, isn't it? I thought it was really strange.
I thought it was really kind of adventurous when I did alternative. I had fish instead of turkey.
Well, I was going to say, have you ever had any kind of Christmas lunch or dinner that goes away completely from a traditional Christmas? So you had fish?
Yeah, I had a period in my life when we used to go to the Lake District and just walk in the hills and then just come back and have fish. So trying to get away from all the kind of...
So not even the trimmings or anything.
No,
so just,
no tree,
wow.
No presents, no.
Oh, nice.
My poor son is still suffering.
So do you look back on that fond memories?
Yeah,
I do. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Debbie, have you ever
strayed
from tradition?
Never.
No,
it's turkey. Well, generally turkey, or on occasion we've had goose.
Okay.
Ooh. But that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of one time without having, normal.
I can hear Katie's brain ticking over.
No, we've never strayed away from the tradition either.
No.
I don't know why you would. Apart from, I'm not a massive, massive fan of turkey.
Okay.
I would prefer a different kind of meat if I could choose.
We've done vegan Christmases quite a few times. My mum was vegan, so we had nut roast. And I love a nut roast. Sometimes on menu options, sometimes I'm not a vegan or vegetarian, but sometimes I opt for the nut nut roast just because I really love it.
Like a tongue twister, that, isn't it? There are nut roast.
But one year we did stray and we went to, it was my parents and my ex-boyfriend and his parents and family, sisters and everything, all came to Spain. I hadn't been living here that long, so it was about 17, 18 years ago, something like that. And we went to our favourite chiringuito, for want of a better word, a restaurant on the beach in Marbella. And we had all the normal things that we would have. We had the pil-pil, we had fried calamari, you know, we had all the traditional, because they didn't change their menu at all. And it was lovely. Mm. It was really nice. It was, you know, we still had the Christmas tree at home and did the presents and everything, but we went out for a traditional Christmas lunch on the beach. It was really nice. Something a bit different.
Yeah.
But yes, we can't imagine a takeaway.
No.
So going back to the traditional meal, what would be your favourite kind of thing that you couldn't live without? The people here in this survey say roast potatoes are the most important component.
Roast parsnip.
Parsnips. Parsnips, carrots and sprouts.
You seem to be naming three there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, but I can't.
It's difficult to choose.
And,
all the veggies.
Yeah, veggies.
I think crackling's my favourite.
Oh,
I used to work in a restaurant and they would cook a whole sheet of crackling and I used to spend most of my shift in the kitchen eating just all of the crackling,
really?
Which is meant for the customers. Yes.
They didn't work there long, I'm guessing.
No, I quite enjoyed working there. They didn't quite mind me doing that.
Oh, nice.
And now when I go out to restaurants, I want the beef but I would like the crackling as well, so I try and ask the
someone else
waiters, I say, can you give me some beef but can I have a little bit of crackling as well? It doesn't always work. They say, no, we don't have enough to go around this time.
No, fair enough.
And then I think back to my past when I was 16. I was allowed unlimited crackling.
Oh, love it. So what would yours be, Sheila? What's your most important bit?
Roasted parsnips.
Oh, sorry, you said parsnips. Yeah, I love parsnips, but and potato. I do like a roast potato. Done well, roast potato.
I can miss the potatoes. I would rather have a parsnip than a potato, if that's what it came down to.
Parsnips can sometimes go wrong.
Go wrong?
Well,
how?
I don't know. It depends who's cooked it and everything. Sometimes you can, with both the parsnips and the carrots, sometimes if you cut them too small, then when they cook, they end up being mostly kind of charred and there's not much left of the vegetable. Do you know what I mean?
I like that.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
It's crackling burnt, don't they?
Of course
like
you would.
Crackling and burnt veg.
It's a bit like overcooking bacon. Like medium-cooked bacon and overcooked bacon is equally as nice, I think. I think the only way you can go wrong with a parsnip is if you undercook it.
Oh, yes, no, that's not good, is it? No, definitely. I love how different we are. It's great. OK, there's a piece here on worst Christmas present ever.
Oh.
This is a great one that comes up. An out-of-date voucher. I mean, who would give some... So some of the things they're talking about here... So number one, an expired voucher. Well, who in their right mind would go, this is expired, or get... Because surely they're going to open it and go, well, it's... it's just the worst thing ever. Followed by a dead plant. Again, why would you give someone a dead plant?
That's who it is, of course.
Well, yeah. And then out-of-date chocolates. Again, I mean, out-of-date anything. Why would you do that? So come on, can you think of any... really bad. I mean, number four on the list is toilet roll. I mean, that is a horrendous present. Why would you get someone toilet roll? Let's go through some of these.
Practical.
Practical, yes. But, I mean, you're not going to go, oh, wow, thanks. How did you know?
Actually, I did.
I visited your bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Running low, love. I thought I'd wrap them up for Christmas.
One of the weirdest things I had for Christmas, this was life before Peter. So
okay.
I was with my previous partner and he had been made redundant, so we were a little bit brassic, and his...
I have to justify it by that.
Yeah, I'll give you the backstory. And I was talking to Peter about this the other day, and he said, and his parents bought us half a side of lamb, which was all chopped up, and so we could keep it in the freezer. Half a side... What did you want for Christmas? Half a side of lamb.
Oh, that was funny.
I think she was like, oh, make use of that. Feed the 4,000 for a week. I think the strangest gift I got was when I was about 12, and I think I got sponsorship for a goat in Africa.
I like things like that.
Yeah.
I think I would have appreciated it, but because I was about 12,
it
didn't really bother me.
A computer game slightly more.
Yes, I don't think I was empathetic enough to care about sponsorships for the goat.
Oh, she's heartless, isn't she? Absolutely. I said that.
Give a crackling goat. Yeah. So this is something I thought, oh, no. So apparently a really bad gift is something free from work. And I kind of thought, oh, it depends what it is, because we're, you know...
I don't want this chair.
No, I wouldn't do that. No, but we're very lucky here. We get a lot of books given to us by authors that we interview. Mm. So, you know, some of them we take home and read, obviously. A lot end up going to charity when there's charity auctions and things like that. I like putting little bundles of books together. But sometimes a book comes about and I think, oh, this will make a perfect gift for whoever. So, yeah, I have given books as presents before.
You're looking at us.
But I do always say, oh, this was someone I interviewed. You know, yeah. I don't want them to think this cost me loads of money. I do say, oh, this was, you know, someone I interviewed. I thought you'd really like the book. So
I think
it doesn't matter, does it?
I think a book's a really nice gift, especially in Spain when we can't really get our hands on English written books that easily.
Yeah, exactly.
And last Christmas, I wrote a book and I put it on Amazon. It was a puzzle book. And I gave that out as a Christmas gift to my friends and family.
Oh, nice. Good for you. You did a puzzle book.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What kind of puzzles?
They were pyramids, and you have to use Sudoku-like skills to get to the top number in the pyramid, and I'm going to be selling them again in a Christmas fair this weekend, so
wow,
it's quite exciting.
She teaches maths. My dad is a puzzle compiler.
Really?
Like, that's what
no
he
way.
Does for a living and
no
has done
way.
For the last like 30 odd years, and I've never met anyone else who does puzzles, so this is truly an amazing experience.
I feel like I need to chat with your dad to get some inspiration.
Yeah.
I've only done one book and I made it all in Excel.
He hasn't done a book.
And it'd be really great to speak to him. So thank you for sharing that info.
That's really cool.
How did it go?
I've sold quite a few in person, but when I've tried to sell them in the local shops, they've not gone down as well. So I think if my face is attached to them, I sell them better.
Mm.
So fingers crossed for Saturday, I'll do okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, brilliant.
Like us with the calendars.
Yeah, exactly. It's true, actually. It can help putting a face to the,
exactly.
to the person who's done it. Brilliant. A can of WD-40.
Oh, no.
Again, why? A mop and bucket.
Well, unless somebody specifically asks for it, you know, because it may well be someone like the half a side of lamb. If somebody is in a situation where they've just moved house and it is practical and it's something that they really need, fine. But if it was, I think I'll get them a mop.
For no apparent reason.
Yeah,
it's
that's
really,
weird.
I remember many, many years ago now. Whenever this subject comes up, I always bring this one up because I think it's hilarious. My dad's father, so my grandfather, bought his wife a flip-top bin. Sheila.
That's really sweet.
It's so romantic.
It's a bin.
It's a thought that counts.
Is there any thought?
Yes.
I got some socks for my birthday and it was one of the best gifts I got because we really need socks here.
Exactly.
With the cold floors.
Exactly.
And you can never have too many pairs of socks in Spain.
No. There's nothing wrong with socks at all.
Nothing.
Vacuum cleaner bags, however.
Oh, it's just getting stupid now.
It is serious.
I remember one story, though, years and years ago. It wasn't involving me, can I just say?
It was a friend.
That there was someone who got some underwear for Christmas and they didn't want it. So they took it back to Marks and Sparks and it was in the days when you could go without a receipt and they would just change it.
Mm.
And they went to customer services with this underwear and they said they hadn't sold it for 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine getting a present? That's obviously, I mean, re-gifting underwear.
Well,
I mean, I think they were new, but, you know.
This is one thing they talk about in the article, re-gifting. And obviously the main thing that you have to be careful with re-gifting is not to re-gift.
You've got to have a good memory.
That's what they say about here, you know, opening a present and you're like, yeah, I gave that to you for your last birthday.
Or putting things into a raffle. I'm always saying, who's going to be at the raffle? If they've given me something.
Yeah. Yes, that happened to me at the weekend.
Really? And me.
What happened?
I'll tell you after the break.
TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Katie Rowland, Sheila Mellor and Debbie Bennett.
There's an article here about getting pickled this Christmas, but it's talking specifically about pickle water. So pickle juice, basically. So when you buy a jar of pickles, it's the water that the pickle comes in. So to make your own pickle juice, it would be water, vinegar, sugar and salt. And apparently this is the in thing to add to cocktails, pickle water.
So why? I'm just going to say
amazing.
Why.
Amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I love anything pickled.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yes. I don't think I've really tried a pickle in many years.
Oh, I love a pickle. I wouldn't drink the water, though.
Oh, no way.
I feel like I haven't been old enough to try a pickle. Now I'm 30. I think the last time I tried a pickle was at an 11-year-old's birthday party. I think now I'm 30, I should dive into
not even pickled onions.
No, I think I've just written it off as something I wouldn't enjoy.
Something that older people do.
Yes.
But I like all things fermented as well, you see.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would you add pickle water? Gin.
Yeah, when I read that, I thought, I'm going to try it.
Gin and pickle water. Yeah. And tonic as well? Or just gin and pickle water?
I have to try it first and then decide.
Wow. You've got to check who you're with, though, because you're going to stink off. Seriously.
They don't want to take me as I am.
I mean, seriously, but if that had pickled onions in, that, yes, yeah, I know, but the smell.
Really? I've never noticed. On the breath? We eat pickled onions.
Well, have I got news for you? I've been meaning to say it.
Oh, please do.
No, it's...
Yes, do you know the reason I keep giving you mint?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, but if you have pickled stuff, it really does smell.
Really?
Yeah, when you're talking to someone.
Nice.
No, not when you're talking.
Breath.
No, exactly.
I only notice garlic smells on breath, which is horrendous.
Oh, I know, and so but is pickles. I'm telling you, if she starts hitting the gin with some pickled juice in it, we'll know.
I think it's probably a matter of an opinion. My friend said she loved garlic breath on other people.
The goats.
My friend is Greek, so maybe there's lots of garlic in Greek.
Oh, that's alright then.
I quite like the smell of garlic on people.
What? What is happening? I feel like we're in a parallel universe.
Where are we, Debbie?
Beam me up, Scotty.
How can you?
I think because I love it so much. I like so much of it. It's like...
Wow, secondhand.
I nearly put an image in, not quite.
There's no room, there's a pickled onion in there.
I remember being, before I could drive and I used to do a lot more buses, I remember being on buses and the overwhelming smell of garlic. And,
on you?
No, not on me.
Generally.
On other people, just generally. And it like made me feel quite sick. Mm. I mean, I was really struggling, thinking I can't breathe through my nose, so I was trying to just only breathe through my mouth, but I felt like the smell was still kind of coming through my... Can you smell through your mouth? I don't know. I was feeling like...
You can taste.
Oh. I've had a poor sense of smell my whole life, so I'm quite lucky I don't have to experience really intense smells.
Oh, eat away then. Yeah.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is the news. It sounded very serious. You're listening to Women Talk. And with me in the studio today, Katie Rowland, Sheila Mellor and Debbie Bennett. There's an article that sort of made me smile. We all have a weakness for food delivery apps, do we? And ready meals, do we?
No.
As Susanna Jowett found, with a diet of stews and puddings, you can halve your grocery bill by cooking like granny. And she gives some examples of some interesting dishes that some sound lovely, some sound bleh. Grandpa's scary mushrooms on toast made me chuckle as a thing. Is that a thing?
Well, I don't know this grandpa.
No, I just assumed it was like a...
a well-known
a
thing.
Mushroom on toast.
No, but so many of them, like
mushrooms have, on toast.
I guess so. There's Granny's Irish stew, yeah. Granny's egg-a-roni cheese.
Yeah.
What's egg-a-roni cheese?
I don't know.
Egg-a-roni. Sounds like macaroni, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But with
so
eggs.
Maybe it's macaroni.
With eggs.
Yeah, macaroni cheese with eggs. Does egg and cheese go together like that?
Eggs and cheese, yeah.
Okay.
You need to call it egg mornay, though, isn't it, if you have eggs and cheese sauce.
Ah, yeah, nice. Yeah. Then it's things like French onion soup, love.
Nice.
Cheese pudding, yeah. Gammon knuckle. Mm.
Knuckle?
Knuckle, yeah.
What does that mean?
The end bit.
Yeah, is that good?
Yeah, it's got lots of fat around it, but the meat underneath is really juicy.
Ooh, as a crackling leather, I think I like that.
Yeah, she liked.
Oh, suck in the bone.
There we go again, lower the tone.
Suck in the bone with your bird knuckle. Pig's tongue a la ravigotte.
Huh?
What's that when it's at home? What, apart from the tongue?
Sounds like I'm a celebrity, that doesn't it?
Doesn't it? I wouldn't. I wouldn't go for a tongue. You're like this, Sheila. Lamb's kidneys on toast.
Yeah. Oh no.
Oh, she likes her awful.
I know.
Oh, you are awful.
I'm so awful.
Then it's got kedgeree, things like that.
Nice.
So it's oxtail stew.
Oh, lovely.
Eggy bread in beef dripping. So it's a kind of mixture of. But sort of wholesome food, I guess you could...
I like it at winter time, you know, as we're getting into cold weather. I do like comfort food at this time of year. So, and they are things that I had as a kid. So I love having toad in the hole.
Right.
You know, and it's real winter warmer, really. And it's absolutely lovely. And just say to Peter, macaroni cheese, yeah, fabulous. You know, it's just nice to have that sort of stuff. But we don't do takeaways.
No. Ever?
Wow.
Once in a blue moon.
Yeah. And okay. It would be maybe the noodle place. But we're not big into takeaways. Mm. It's just, I don't think we are here in Spain, are we?
No, I don't think
we
are.
Not compared to the UK, when you see these adverts and there's someone getting, you know, McDonald's, KFC, whatever they are. Mm. And we don't do that, you know. I wouldn't even...
We went through a phase. I can't remember when it was. It was a good few years ago, but we went through a phase of doing it every Sunday.
Really?
We'd have Indian takeaway every Sunday. I mean, not for long, only for, I don't know, for a few months or something maybe we kept it up. But we just went through a phase where it was just our thing on a Sunday. Which was nice.
There was one app I used called Too Good To Go, which is where you can get slightly going off food before it's on the turn. Yeah. But I got really poorly once doing that.
Oh, no.
So you've got to sort of check your places because... Yeah. If you're going to get tapas-like stuff, it might have been hanging on the countertop for hours and hours and hours.
Days.
So I got a bit put off by that. But you can get really good Too Good To Go boxes where you pay €5 and you get loads of produce depending on the day.
Yeah, you can get fruit and vegetables. You can get even they do have bakeries on there. So you can get baked goods, croissants and things like that that they have to throw out.
Yeah.
But they're still all right to eat.
Marbella ones seem much better than, say, Estepona or La Linea ones. So I think it's dependent on the area. You can get... some quite good
I think it's a great idea.
I thought it was interesting in the article the way that they'd she had recipes for every day, because when I was a child that's just the way we lived.
Absolutely.
I mean, you knew what day it was because of what you were eating for dinner.
Really? Yeah. So you had the same thing
every week and it never varied.
Did you enjoy that?
I suppose it was just normal.
Yeah.
You know, so
what was your Monday dish? Can you remember?
Yes, it was shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
And Friday it was the chippy. That's the only time we ever had anything that wasn't homemade by mum. Yeah.
We used to have on a Saturday because my mum worked, so, and dad would bring back the shopping. Mum would do it in a lunch break and then dad would bring it back and we'd unpack it and dad would cook. And my dad's a terrible cook, really. So we had the Vesta packet curry and rice, and that was, I guess, our takeaway.
Yeah.
So, and it was foul. It was absolutely foul.
That's probably why you're not bothered about the takeaway now.
But it was all part of it every Saturday. Comics, the sweets, whatever in the morning, and it's the Vesta curry and rice cooked by dad. Terrible.
As was salmon on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Salmon.
Wow.
With vinegar.
Oh, nice.
Really?
We had that on a Sunday tea. Tinned fruit.
We never did anything like that. We never had any regular... meal days ever. Didn't have Sunday roast growing up either.
Oh, we always had a Sunday roast.
So we never had any days where it was the same kind of thing.
We always had lamb for Sunday lunch.
Yeah.
And me and my brother used to fight over the bones.
Really? How funny.
You're bringing up bones again.
Yeah, I know, yes. I'm such a carnivore. Any vegans listening, I'm sorry.
So, moving on to something completely different. How hard is it to wake up in the morning? We talked about this a few weeks ago, so apologies if you've already done this. It's just an interesting article talking about how you wake up in the morning, whether you kind of smash your alarm, do you keep hitting snooze, are you, what kind of a morning person? Did we talk about this before?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm a morning person, so it doesn't bother me.
So when you set your alarm, you're up straight away?
Well, generally, Peter likes to, he lies about the time. So he will set it. I'll say, can you set it at 7 or whatever? And if you're listening, Peter, I know you are, you know I'm not lying. So he would say, I'd say set it for 7. His 7 would be, for me, it's going to be before 7. And I feel cheated. So I'm saying, so I will ask him to snooze it once because I know that means it's 7.
Wow.
But with him, he could keep on snooze.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Peter's got to stay in bed. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's, I hardly he's a ever, night person. I'm
ever use an alarm. Mm.
Really?
No.
Even when I worked, I woke up.
Oh, really?
I used to have the kind, of brain that said, if I had an early meeting, say 6:30, I'd say I need to wake up at 5:30. I don't wake up.
Wow. That's amazing.
Or if I could have a little snooze in, I'd say no, I need to wake up at 6 and I'd wake.
That's incredible. Yeah. So it wasn't necessarily the same time each
month.
So you literally told your brain and that's what would...
If I was catching a flight, I'd tell myself what time to wake up, but I would put an alarm on just in case, but I always woke up.
Wow.
And since I'm retired, I don't have to get up.
No.
So,
and did you sleep quite well?
But I never use clocks, you see. I don't have a clock. I don't own a clock. I've never had a clock in my house. I don't like ticking.
And did you sleep well when you used to wake up at a certain time?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm completely different. I'm a night owl, and I used to find it so difficult to get up in the morning in Britain, but I'm much better in Spain. Mm. But I've changed up my routine, and I make it quite exciting because I like variety throughout the day. So the first thing I do is I have an automated light that turns on 10 minutes before my alarm goes off, so my body is already woken up before my mind's woken up, and then I'm ready for the day.
Yeah.
Because when I used to be in the UK and used to have probably more of a stressful job, I used to wake up in a state of alarm and a fight or flight sort of way. And now I wake up quite naturally because I've got the light and then I've got the sound next, which is brilliant. And I also do other odd things to wake me up in the morning, like I've got an aerial yoga swing, so I'll go upside down for at least 30 seconds. And a few months ago, I used to go for a dip in the paddling pool to wake up my body. That's a big trend at the moment on social media, is going for
in
a cold water dip.
Cold water, yeah.
And
not just paddling.
If I can't be bothered with a whole body submersion, I would submerge my face in ice water. And apparently that almost has just as much benefits.
Really?
Yes, but I think because I've got quite a chaotic brain, I needed to do intense, fun things like that to calm myself down, ready for the day. And I'm very calm and happy in the morning after doing all those things.
And so how does it feel to put your face in iced water?
I can't think of the word in English. what's the word?
Invigorating.
Invigorating, thank you.
So you just kind of go...
Yes, it's supposed to be good for your skin and your energy, and then you're supposed to have those endorphins for the next couple of hours throughout the day as well.
I might try that.
Wim Hof.
Yeah, it's a thing, isn't it? I might try it. I've thought about early morning swimming before. Thought about it quite a few times.
I've done that once.
Yeah, in the sea.
Yes, with my sister. But I was too busy upside down on my aerial yoga swing. We almost missed the sunrise. So she said, "Hurry up! We're going to miss it. It's in 4 minutes." But we got to the sea just in time.
And you went in.
Yes.
Was it all right?
Yes. And then I went to work 20 minutes later.
Gosh.
Yeah. Covered in salt water.
Oh, yeah. My grandchildren have those lights. They're supposed to be really good. Yeah,
yes.
Them up very gradually.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I put them on red at night, I think, which then slows you down and makes you feel a bit calmer at night as well, rather than the blue light, which is for the morning.
Yeah.
You need to be careful, though, if people buy the walking past the red light in your bedroom. Not a good look.
We've got enough of those up and down the coast, haven't we?
Right, this I thought was an interesting one to talk about hair. A 46-year-old Indian woman earned a world record when her tremendous tresses were measured at 7 feet and 9 inches long. Smita of Uttar Pradesh, who was awarded the Guinness World Records title for longest hair on a living person, hasn't had a haircut since she was 14.
Get it cut, love, I say, get it cut.
Imagine brushing. I mean, how would you look after it? Washing it, brushing it.
I don't think you do, though, do you? You can't. I mean,
that's been
unless that's her life.
Shoulder length.
Yeah.
What you mean? She is. She lives for her hair.
Perhaps I'm the complete opposite. I'm lucky if I brush my hair on a daily basis. Once it gets beyond a certain length, I think it needs cutting off for me. But I suppose if you're a very well maintained person, that might work quite well.
I don't think.
I mean, there's long and there's long.
Yeah, that's. I mean, not having it cut since you were 14, and she's how old now?
46.
And how long is it?
Seven foot nine inches.
No,
that's ridiculous.
How tall is she? She's probably taller than...
Oh, yeah, her hair will be longer than
she is. Yeah. I wonder how she puts it up.
Well, she's not dragging it down.
Well, I don't know. I need to see pictures of this. What is she going to do? I mean...
Well, you can't put it all in a hairband, can you?
I mean, that's not going up,
wouldn't it? Just
surely it would give you headaches as well, because it's constantly...
It's so heavy.
How would you curl it?
Oh, I don't think that's on a list. Imagine, you could only curl the bottom. Oh, it would just be a... I can't think of one good reason.
No, I can't.
No, it's just get it cut.
Idea.
Get it cut.
Was it religion?
No, she said in Indian culture, goddesses traditionally had very long hair. Long hair enhances the beauty of women.
Oh, no. I mean, I like long hair.
Yeah.
But there's long is, and exactly. that's ridiculous.
Long
that
and
is just
stupid.
Get it cut.
Yes.
Sort it out.
Have any of you been watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
No.
Not really, just clips on TikTok. So I can't really contribute much to this discussion, sorry.
Okay, we'll take a break then.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the last part of Women Talk. With me in the studio today, Katie Rowland, Sheila Mellor and Debbie Bennett. There is a... I've got a couple of things here from a... what they called? Agony Aunt problem page thing, which I thought we could have a... I was going to say have a laugh about. I don't mean that, obviously. Have a discussion about and give some valuable advice. So this one, how can I compromise with a friend who thinks I text her too much? I'll read the next bit. I am a man in my mid-30s. I have a younger female friend, Emma, who is an introvert. There's no romantic interest between us, just a great friendship. The problem is that I'm more of an extrovert than she is. Recently, we've hit a rough patch. She believes that I text her too much. I'm not trying to annoy her. I just want to talk to her. I want to keep her in my life because she is a great friend. I don't want to overwhelm her, but I don't want to feel like I'm forgotten.
Two things there. You mentioned great friend twice. I don't think they've got a great friendship because otherwise they'd understand what each other's needs are. That one has a need for this and the other one has a different need. So
very well put.
And if she's such, if he's such a good friend, listen to what she's saying. Don't text.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I don't think you can depend on one person for all your needs. It sounds like he's depending on her a bit too much.
Very needy, it sounds like.
And it should be quite obvious if you get a bit annoying to a friend.
Yeah.
That's happened to me before and I've just backed off a bit.
Yeah, she's sending messages and they're not replying.
Exactly. And shared my annoyance between more people rather than just focusing on one person.
I'll message someone else then.
Yeah. One of my friends told me the other day that her friend was texting her too much and what could she do about it? And I thought, well, I don't know how you've let it get to that stage. And it wasn't just texting. It was hour-long phone calls every single day.
Yeah. Wow.
And I said to my friend, I don't know how you've let it get to that stage because with my friends, I barely speak to them on a daily basis. But then when I see them, it's normal. It's almost nicer to be in person than constantly texting all the time. Yeah. We've all got so many messages and emails to deal with in modern day. Mm. It becomes a nuisance having to text back and forth every day with someone. Mm. So I think he needs to reel it back in a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
And think about, he's got needs, but she has needs too. And they need to give each other space.
Yeah. Not just about him.
No, exactly.
Should I give in to my mother-in-law's insistence that I stop wearing bright colours?
No, my mother-in-law
is very concerned that my love of bright colours and patterns conveys lower-class standards to her uppity family. My grandma taught me to dress as I want, so I wore comfortable, original and designer clothing by my favourite makers. My mother-in-law tried to exclude me from any family photos because I didn't meet her dress code. Can you imagine?
I say put bright orange, lime green, purple and turn up.
Yeah,
I'd just go the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. I love bright colours. Or I might put a black coat on so she includes me and then drop it.
Yeah. And then you'd have your little bikini underneath with tassels.
Yeah, exactly.
I absolutely love bright colours. I sometimes look at people and I think, why are you wearing black every day, all day? You're not wearing completely black. I mean, there's some people who just wear black non-stop and I just think that's boring. Shake it up a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love
The mother-in-law needs to shake it up. That's what we're saying.
She needs some colour in
her
life.
She needs colour. Exactly.
Definitely.
Buy her some watercolours.
So this is an interesting one. Talking about funerals. Death may be a certainty of life, but growing numbers of Britons are abandoning its long-held rites and practices, including funerals. In fact, less than half want a funeral, according to a survey that found the traditions of death are seen as expensive, time-consuming and irrelevant.
Right, I've kind of got a mixed view about this because I do think that we go over the top at funerals and it is lovely to celebrate somebody's life, but very often the funeral's at a time when you're in such grief you can't really, well, even kind of experience it because you're like in a daze because of what's happened to you and all your senses have shut down. So I kind of think it'd be nicer to have like a memorial, like 12 months.
12 years when no one else is around.
12 months later. But I recently watched a film where somebody was had been diagnosed as dying and only had a very short amount of time to live, and she decided that she wanted her memorial before she died.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, lovely.
Idea. Yeah. So she could hear all the beautiful things that people were saying about her and some of the horrible ones like Debbie.
I love that idea.
I thought it was great, but maybe that's because I'm a bit
I think it depends on the funeral. I have to say, I've been to some to be careful how I say now, but I've been to some very, very religious funerals. Some of whom the person who passed over was very religious, so therefore it makes sense that their funeral was religious, but some of them the person wasn't religious at all. But either way, I've been to some funerals that the person who's died was barely even mentioned, and the whole funeral was all about Jesus, basically. It was completely centered around religion and didn't talk about the person who passed over at all, and I found that really, really sad and a shame. You know, one person particularly springs to mind, and you know, the church was full, there were so many people there that really wanted to kind of pay tribute to them, and I was really looking forward to, you know, hoping to meet members of their family and maybe hear funny stories about them growing up and their life. And I was really, because a lot of the funerals that I've been to with my family and everything absolutely are about that, you know, celebrating the person and talking about their life, a proper family eulogy. And there was none of that at all. And I left learning no more about the person at all and just kind of thinking, well, what was that all about?
I think it's a personal thing. I think what you want, you know, if you can get, fantastic. But me personally, I feel that it's the last thing that we can do to celebrate and somebody's life, or, you know, immediately, or as you say, 12 years later. I think it's also really important when you go to a funeral and to deal with your emotions, and you're sharing emotions about this sense of loss, you're all together. I find it really important.
Part of the grieving process.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, really necessary. Yes, it doesn't have to be the most expensive coffin.
No.
Yeah, you can save money these days on something that's biodegradable or whatever. There are ways. It doesn't have to be about the pomp and flowers and stuff. But what what I do want to do is, as you said, is actually honour the person, share the grief, share the stories, and share the love, really. And say that they mattered. That's the important thing.
Yeah, definitely.
They mattered. Yeah.
I do quite like your idea that that person went before they died. That's quite an interesting take on it, isn't it? Yeah. I actually read a newspaper article yesterday about a funeral crasher who'd go and crash.
I've interviewed him.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah. Years ago. He's hilarious. An American guy.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, you tell the story.
No, you probably know more about it than me. He goes in and he sends messages from the deceased, but they're normally negative messages to the guests saying, you need to get lost because you're not invited here. That's the way
he used
to
load her money and stuff like that. Like, he goes in, or, I mean, even worse than that, like, he'll go in and he'll say, he'll burst into the funeral and say, you know, about the man who's died. He'll say, actually, you know, or the grieving widow, the wife is standing there, and he'll say, you know what, he was gay.
Really
horrendous. I mean, he's like a truth teller. He can't, but the person before, when they're, when it's, it sounds funny, but it's not, is it?
It's terrible.
Yeah. But it's at request of the person who's dying. Like, they contact
him
and say, at my funeral, I want you to do this.
Okay. I get that now. So I'm just thinking there's this random person who just goes round,
and he gets paid, obviously, before the person dies.
So it's an entertainment from the grave.
It's probably quite a high price tag as well, isn't it?
I imagine. I mean, he has some balls, dare I say it. I can't imagine. I mean, that would be horrendous.
That's amazing. You've interviewed him. Lots of synchronicities today.
He's
on this
quite
episode.
A hoot, as you can imagine.
I don't think it's something I would endorse.
No, I'd feel really uncomfortable.
No.
Absolutely. Yes, I was going to say I love a funeral. That sounds weird. But no, I have. I remember when we did my grandma's funeral. It was quite small. There weren't lots of people there, which was a shame. And I remember lots of family members came up to us and felt sort of quite uncomfortable on saying the words, please don't take this the wrong way, but that was the most beautiful funeral I've ever been. You know, people thought it was amazing. You know, I think people were used to going to maybe more religious or conservative formal funerals. And the ones we've done in our family have always been a lot kind of brighter and more celebratory and you know, lots of colour and nice songs and things like that, which is lovely. You know, when it's such an emotional day and there's a lot of tears and emotion, how lovely that there can be lots of smiles and laughter as well. I think that's really special.
Absolutely. To make it all about them.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Okay. On to, where are we doing? Just under 10 minutes. Something which is an interesting one. Talking about the headline reads, why having a baby at 51 was far easier than being a mum at 21.
Oh, wow.
So this is talking about the idea of being an older mother.
Come back when she's 71, when the child's 20, she's trying to deal, or even 16 or something.
Exactly. So you can't imagine doing it the other way around.
No.
How old were you, do you mind?
24. Okay. It was hard enough.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, though, like now, if it was 50, and then...
having a child at 20.
And then taking them to school, and everyone's going to think that your mum is your gran.
Yeah.
That's really hard on the child. I mean,
but people are having babies a lot later.
Yeah.
A lot later.
And also 50's a lot younger now than it was 50 years ago.
Absolutely.
Because of life expectancy and things like that. I'd love to have children one day, and I see myself maybe being a slightly older mum because I'm 30 and nowhere near on the road to having a baby yet. But it's difficult, isn't it? Because will you have the energy to look after a child at that age?
The thing is, I think she was saying, wasn't she, that she had one at 21, and I think physically she was saying it was easier at 51. She got back into her size 8 jeans like 3 days later when she was 51.
Amazing.
That's incredible.
She
went straight into menopause immediately.
I suppose you're more mature at 51, so you've probably got a better idea on how to look after a child.
Mm. I think it's because she's got a built-in babysitter, a 21-year-old. I think that's what's made it easier. She has the baby, passes it over to the 21-year-old and says, get on with it.
Yeah.
I think there's definite pros and cons of both ways. And there's a real argument for doing it when you're younger. So therefore, you know, when you're older, your kids have grown up and you're free to live your life how you want. And then there's an argument for doing it the other way. Obviously, you know, maybe having more of a career for a longer time, gaining more kind of life experience, whatever, and then doing it older when you're more kind of settled, both individually and with the right person, perhaps. But yeah, there's no right way, is there? It's whatever works for you.
I think it was a woman in Africa who I read today that she was 70 and gave birth.
Oh, come on. I know,
that's not on, is it?
That's selfish.
Yeah. 70.
How did she manage it?
I don't know. I just caught the headline and stuff. 70.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's really selfish, isn't it?
That might be false news.
Well, I can't validate. Like I don't know the woman.
Doesn't sound like it's possible, does it?
No, because she should be with menopause.
Menopause, exactly.
I would have thought so. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, there's almost freaks
on. Yeah.
It's a weird one. Right, we have 4 minutes left, and I'm referring to things that millennials refuse to buy. Because there's a whole massive list here, which I refer to every
single time. I'm a millennial,
We're dependent on you to see if this is true.
Okay, so
First one, pork scratching.
Yes.
No more I do's and kissing the bride. You may now kiss the bride used to be a sacred phrase that a couple waited to hear from the moment they fell in love. Research reveals that younger Americans are deciding that they don't need to tie the knot. Either that or they're waiting until way later in life. So this is just about getting married, basically. Less bothered about getting married.
I think people in general in my generation seem to be having babies before they're getting married. That's just a pattern I've noticed.
Yeah.
A lot of people from school are more likely to have it that way around.
Wow. Mm. I think that's great. Why not?
No.
But are they doing that intending to get married?
I think so, yes.
Okay. They're choosing to do it in that order.
Yes, but I also think COVID's put a stop on lots of things because people wanted to have children and they wanted to get married. And lots of people had those weird lockdown weddings, didn't they, where you had to have a COVID test before you went to the wedding. And if you had COVID, you couldn't go.
That's horrible.
So I think some people wanted to get married, but they didn't want to get married during the period of COVID, which lasted many years. So they had the baby first and now they're getting married a bit later down the line.
Makes sense. Not that they don't want to get married or they have negative feelings about the marriage. It's actually just...
I'm not sure exactly because some of these are just sort of distant friends. Mm. I don't actually know their exact reasons for not getting married before having children.
My son and daughter-in-law didn't get married and they had Theo and then they had no intention of marrying. They didn't think they needed to because they loved each other and were going to stay together anyway. But then they got a contract to go and work abroad and they could only go abroad if they were married. Mm. So that's the reason they got married.
Okay.
And told me the day that I arrived to go and see them, oh, by the way, I want you to be a witness. There I was in my jeans and my linen.
Oh, no!
Bizarre, I'll have to tell you that story.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I always wanted to get married, I think. I can't remember going through a period where I... thinking that I didn't, because that can be a normal thing, can't it? Oh, I don't want to get married. And oh yeah, I do. Yeah, I think I always hoped that one day I would, but for me it was late. I was 37 when I got married.
I was quite late getting married, but I was in the camp that I'm not bothered. I was really not bothered about getting married. In fact, very much on the I'm not getting married.
Really?
Yeah. And my mum actually did say, I never thought you would get married. And I said, not because I haven't been asked. She said, no.
Yeah, I don't know why. To be honest, probably to do with popular culture and seeing in films and TV shows and that whole kind of fairy tale thing and thinking,
Did you have a wedding?
No, I wasn't like that. It wasn't like Monica and Friends and had the whole big album out. Yeah, exactly. No, but no, I waited long enough for the right person. So the right time, right person.
Yeah.
We're kind of coming towards the end of the show, so I shall leave it there before moving on to reclining chairs.
which isn't exactly that exciting. So thank you all very much for coming in today. Thank you to Katie, you. Sheila and Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a lovely weekend. I know it's only Thursday, but it's weekend for me because I don't work Fridays. Woohoo! But Howard Brereton is up next. He'll be with you just after the international news at the top of the hour with Spain Today. So don't go away. And I will be back with you on Monday at 4 o'clock. Have a great weekend. It's not due to rain, fingers crossed, so try and stay dry.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
My Lowe's Pro Rewards members, go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.